Well, good evening. What a delight to see so many back. That is tremendous, wonderful. Not for my sake, but for your sake, and for the sake of the church as well. I don't think I said this morning. If we didn't live all the way across town, this would be our church, unless God just insisted we go someplace else. But we really love this church, and we're so happy for the things that have been happening. Pastor White keeps us updated from time to time on what's going on, people joining, and it's just, for me, it's exciting. Well, for my wife, too. Both of us, we just get excited when God is working and achieving things, and so we rejoice together with you as well. Let's go to the Old Testament this evening. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. What in the world would we go to 1 Chronicles 21 for, anyway? Well, I've titled the message, Trust in the Lord. And you get that out of 1 Chronicles? Yes, we do, for sure. I could have titled this, Beware of Pride. Or I could have titled it, Tripped Up by the Devil. All of them would have been appropriate, but this is what I ended up with. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, at verse 2, we read, And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. What's that got to do with trusting in the Lord? We'll find out shortly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. It is more valuable than rubies. It's so full of wisdom and trustworthy wisdom. There's a lot of human wisdom available today in the world. Some of it's good, so much of it's not. So we thank you that it's a light to our path, a guide to our daily living. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and true constantly to your word. Thank you for each one that's come tonight because they recognize the importance of increasing their fellowship, increasing their understanding of the word of God. And help us, Lord, to understand it from this passage now. In Jesus' name, we pray. There's a parallel account of this. We're told here that Satan stood up against Israel and provoked or enticed David to number Israel. But in 2 Samuel chapter 24, it also tells us, describing the same event, that the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them. Is this a contradiction or what? Well, it's not a contradiction, that's for sure. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. I When I was in seminary, I worked for a while at the main post office in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I was with a godless crew, and one day I came into work, and they said, "We've got you now." They had a copy of, I don't know, Penthouse or some such godless magazine, and it had an article in there about the contradictions of in the Word of God. I said, "Fine, when we get to the break time, bring it along with you, and we'll have a look at it." Well, I answered a couple, and they threw the magazine in the trash. Even those ungodly men realized that the article in their favorite magazine was wrong. So it says here in 2 Samuel that God, the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, where here it says the devil was working in it. Obviously, God permitted Satan to entice David. This is not the only time that we see something like that. When Israel would sin, God would, through various circumstances, would raise up whole nations to come against Israel and to enslave them for a period of time. And so just like the devil did with Job, creating chaos for him, the Lord used Satan to stir up, entice, provoke David to do what he did. God was angered with David, and Satan was against Israel, and Satan, the roaring lion that he is, jumped at the opportunity to get right in there and work on David. We have no clue why, not why, but what the devil did to stir up David at this time. But somehow the devil provoked David to number Israel. By the way, I was going to say, we're going to have a long introduction. Normally, it's best to have a short introduction. But we need the background for the message tonight. And there's quite a bit of background to consider here. So just how Satan worked his plan, we're not told. We can surmise, but you get yourself in trouble when you do that. And he somehow lured David to work his plan. But always remember, the devil has all kinds of methods and means to get to you if you will allow him to do it. That's why it's so important to be conversant with the Word of God, with and I think especially the Old Testament, to see how God worked in history and with Israel in particular, and learn and apply it to your personal life as well. Well, Satan would love to do the same to you as he did with David. Joab, his leading military general, saw right through the situation, though. We look at verse 3, and Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times as many more as they are. But my lord, the king, are they not all my lord's servants?" What was David up to here? Well, he was going to find out how many fighting men there were out there. He's going to check his resources is what he's going to do. And Joab said, "Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" So in this instance, Joab, his military general, saw right through what David was up to, what he was trying to do. And so he pled with the king, but the king had his way after all. He's the leader, and he got what he wanted. Now, what in the world is wrong with numbering the people anyway? There were a number of situations where the people were numbered, and they were numbered for good reason, but not in this instance. In verse 5 of the passage that we're looking at, "And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and they of Israel were 1,100,000 men who drew the sword." There's the key. 1,100,000 men who drew the sword. And then there was Judah, 430,000 men who, again, who drew the sword. What was David up to? David was checking out his resources, his human resources. Now, in other instances, that's really a good thing to do. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus said something like this, a little paraphrase. He said, "What man who's going to build a tower will not stop and calculate if he's got enough resources to finish the tower?" And that's what David was up to. David was going to calculate, wanted to calculate what his manpower resources were. He may have had an intention to go to battle. We just simply do not know what he was planning on. But remember, this is the David who in his youth faced Goliath trusting in the Lord. There's the key right there. 1 Samuel 17:45. "Then said David to the Philistine," excuse me, "Thou comest with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." In that instance, David, the young upstart, knew exactly what was at stake here. And he went out and faced Goliath while the real armies were behind him thinking, "What's going to happen to this young upstart anyway?" His brothers were in the army. They must have thought, "This is the end of David," and were fearful of what was going to happen. But now David is old. Now David is experienced. Now David has numerous military victories to his credit, and he has forgotten to come in the name of the Lord. No, he'll come in the name of 1,400,000, something like that, men, the source of strength. Now he is trusting his military skill and manpower, and God knew his purpose, and God was not pleased with it. You see, that was a big mistake that David made, a big mistake that any of us can make any time. That's the case. So somehow Satan enticed David to trust human strength and his own skill and ingenuity. And he had a lot of it by this time. He really did. Never forget any superior abilities that you have came from God. It's easy for us, especially the older we get, and hopefully the smarter we get, it's easy to forget that God is the one that gives us what we have and what we possess. James chapter 1, verse 17, a verse I think of often. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Keep that in mind. Search your own motives always. Remember who gives you any advantage. Do you have superior intelligence? Did you just make yourself that way? No. It comes from God. We have a man in our church who's an engineer. He's so smart, he's bored most of the time. And so he sets himself to do other things. He made a banjo. The banjo stands about this high, I think it would be. They don't carry it in, they roll it in. And his daughter plays it. But she says he made it, the whole thing, himself, because he was bored. Well, he has a blessing from God. That's what he has. Do you have? It was great to see this many people practicing for the choir tonight. Do you have talent, ability musically? Where did it come from? Well, it doesn't just happen. God grants it. God gives it, and take it from God. I had a long ride in a hearse several years ago. We had to go east of Denver several miles to another town for a burial, and the funeral director said, I decided as far back as when I was 13 years old. He said, I think God picks out people for particular occupations. And he said, I was with a cousin, and we were at, this is a number of years ago, he was old already then, and he was at a what some people call a wake. It was at a farmhouse in the country. And he said to this cousin, he says, someday I want to be a funeral director. Well, somebody's got to do it. Not everybody wants to be a funeral director. I've taken members of the congregation at times to a funeral home to find out what all goes on, and the funeral director explains what's going on. And I really wouldn't want to do it myself, so I'm glad for them. But you see, what do you have that you have not received? Be thankful for talents. Be thankful for abilities. Be thankful for experiences that God gives you. Well, I'm getting into preaching already. I better be careful here. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11 says of the Lord, He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. That's what was missing. That's what David was neglecting at this point. Every one of us needs to learn from this. Trust in the Lord. Don't get tripped up by the devil because it's not going to end well. David repented, though. David had a tender heart. David really was a man after God's heart. But like all of us, David slipped up from time to time. And when he did, he came to his senses, he repented, and he made things right again. Verse 8 in the chapter we're looking at, it says, And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now, I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. It takes quite a man to acknowledge something like that, to confess something like that. David brought all of this on himself and upon Israel, but 70,000 men would fall as a result of it. And David's example and reputation would fall right along with it as well. Beware, don't follow the example of this man, David. But beware, Satan can tempt you in a similar fashion. David had his men. You and I have our own resources as well that we can fall back on. So now we get to the message. That was the introduction. I told you it was going to be a long one. But we needed that background to begin with. And so obviously the challenge is to trust in the Lord instead of trusting in your possessions. You can count your money the same way that David counted his men. It took Joab and others a whole 9 months going through the land, finding out who all of them that could bear the sword were, totaling them up, coming back to Jerusalem, bringing the report back. 9 months and 20 days. You can view it as you can view it as your strength, your confidence, that is your possessions. You can view that way as well. So long as you have all of those coins, we might say, you are set for whatever adversity may come your way. But beware, whether you have $1 million. Or $100, you should be trusting in the Lord. Because if you do not, God can take it away so quick It'll make your head swim. You'll wonder what hit you. I love a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Ecclesiastes 7, 12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Money is a defense. When extra bills come, it is so encouraging. Gives you peace of mind if you've got the money to take care of the bills. It is a defense. And that is something Solomon recognized. How sad when we would trust in money. Be careful. Don't trust in money. Be thankful. Be thankful to God. We thank God, my wife and I, almost every day, probably every day, for how God has taken care of us, has looked after us. We've been retired almost 21 years, and we're still not broke, which is marvelous for preachers, you see. And so you can anger the Lord with such an attitude as trusting in money, and he will allow Satan to tempt you when he might otherwise forbid and hinder Satan from doing that. You might suffer ruin through spiritual degradation that God would bring upon you. You might lose your savings through unforeseen and unnecessary disaster. Understand that it's a just God who allows or brings about things of that nature. The danger of money, Proverbs 18:11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. That's Proverbs 18:11. But Proverbs 11:4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. We need to take that to heart and not just count on what we possess. Trust in the Lord instead of trusting in your possessions. Secondly, trust in the Lord instead of trusting in your power. You might have power. You might have influence on the job, for instance. God blesses you. You progress well. You start congratulating yourself. You're just doing terrific. And you start to throw your weight around. You think you've become so secure that you start using your power and influence for personal benefit. A sad, sad tale. It starts corrupting your thinking and corrupts those around you as well. If you haven't been in a cave, you know, I think it's been a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. You remember Representative Stapleton was in the news. I don't know if that's ever been resolved or what, how that happened. But she had a powerful position in the Albuquerque public school system, and she had a powerful position in the legislature. Do we call that conflict of interest? Well, you use your judgment on that. Now, everybody is presumed innocent until proven guilty, aren't they? But early on, They snatched $3 million away from her. I haven't heard how that all ended up or if it has ended up. What I do know is she got fired from the Albuquerque public school system, and she no longer has the power in the legislature either. It went to her head. She thought she could succeed in her own way. A wrong assessment of yourself and of your abilities and resources can make you vulnerable to Satan. He has his ways. Trust the Lord and do right. Trust in the Lord instead of trusting in your possessions, instead of trusting in your power. Thirdly, instead of trusting in your seniority, your longevity. You know, people, I think, are catching on. They think a little less of doing that these days than they used to do. You might think you're set for life, and then you find that you're not. Our youngest daughter was with a company for 19 and a half years, and things were going well. She was doing well, and all of a sudden one day they came in and said, leave everything on your desk, give us your phone. And they took everything away from her, and they walked her to the door and said goodbye. And when we decide what you're going to get back, we'll send it to you. We'll ship it to you. Oh, my. How devastating can that be? But that's what happened. Well, she trusted God, and today she has an extremely good job. And God has blessed her trust and her confidence in God in spite of it. And now she's a widow. She became a widow at 55 years old, and God has just taken care of her. And she's trusting in God. So trust in God. And next, fourth, instead of trusting in your friends or in using your friends as well, you can assess the number of your friends. You can become so confident in the wonders of your marvelous personality, your relationships, that you convince yourself that you can succeed in anything. But what is that? It's a self-trust. You do not need God. You've got your friends. And so you're going to trust in that instead. It's frustrating, so frustrating, to see people in high positions these days doing things that ordinary people like us would go to prison for. But they get away with it because there's a double standard. You can pass laws and laws and laws and laws, but if they're not enforced fairly towards everybody, what good are laws? They don't account to much of anything, you see. And so don't trust in your friends. Now I say do trust in your friends, but trust in friends, and at the same time trust in God. We moved to Albuquerque to be near our daughter and family. Her husband passed away 2.5 years, almost 3 years ago. Her children, our grandchildren, decided they're adults. They're going to move to Denver. That's where we came from. And they came to they came to us, our daughter and granddaughter, and they had a grandiose plan for us to move back to Denver. And we said, we'll talk about it. Well, we talked about it, and we told them, we're not doing it. We're not going back to Denver. We like it here. We want to stay here. We have a Bible study with some ladies every Monday morning, and we brought this concern to them. And a young lady, 2 years younger than our daughter, sat right up, and we just became locked-on friends. Strange that would be. 28 years younger than me, and but we just became close friends. And she was in that Bible study, and she sat up and she says, well, I'll take care of you. Well, that makes it easier to stay, you see. And so that's what we did. And the family has gotten used to it. And as they're digging out of the snow, we just laugh. But you see, even then, you know, we're counting on Liz, but we're really counting on God, and counting on God to keep her on track and take care of us. But she's demonstrated over the years that that's exactly what she will do as well. So trust in the Lord instead of trusting in your possessions, instead of trusting in your power, instead of trusting in your seniority and longevity, instead of trusting in your friends and even using your friends, and lastly, instead of trusting in your health. Health is a fragile thing. You can be healthy as can be. Oftentimes people, you know, when we meet, they say, how are you? I say, I'm just fine, so far as I know. Because you don't know for sure what's going on inside. And things can happen. We had an uncle, 62 years old, working construction, robust individual. But one day he collapsed on the job. And they took him to the hospital. They did some tests. Eventually, they brought him from Rapid City, South Dakota, down to Denver. And all of a sudden, he just died. It was the end. Who would have anticipated it? Who would have thought that Ward Ham would pass away like that? But he did. We all are just a breath away from eternity, and we should live with that understanding constantly. Not living a life of fear, but a life of realizing that life is tenuous. James says, it's a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. When we were driving over here this morning, we saw several stacks, I don't know if it was smoke or steam or both, that were rising up and just sitting there. There was no movement of air, no wind whatsoever, but it just sat there until it would evaporate, and it was over. Live with that thinking, that frame of mind, in your mind constantly. Your trust should always be in the Lord. Never let the blessing of God nor the troubles of life lead you to trust in yourself and disregard God. Every one of us is subject to the temptations that the devil would bring against us, enticements, provocations. He is so clever. And David fell for it. David learned the hard way to go back to trusting the Lord in all things. Don't learn the hard way, whatever your age is. Don't learn the hard way. Learn to trust in God. Should you ever fall into any of these testings, temptations, do what David did. Confess it, repent, and get back to trusting God. Satan tempts, he entices, but he cannot force you. People like to say, the devil made me do it. There's no such thing as the devil making you do anything. Or else God would not hold you accountable to begin with. And he will. He will. We face that when we die. May God give us all a heart to confess and repent like David did and trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's amazing what we read in the Word of God sometimes. You let us see the ugly and the great. You let us see them because you want us to learn. You want us to benefit by the mistakes of others and by the example of others as well. Lord, we're human. I know you know that. You know that we walk with feet of clay. Help us. Help us, Lord, in the midst of all of the temptations that we're faced with constantly, to live a life of faith, a life of trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.